for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, July the 8th, 1992. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Earl Moore of Indianapolis, Indiana, is the teacher of the morning.
I'm so glad that we're on the brink of a miracle. And if you've got to walk at the miracle's edge, keep walking.
Amen.
There are some things that is predestined in God concerning us as the rising of the sun is in the morning. Things that He predestined in Himself from before the foundation of the world. And we're living at the time of just inherit the blessings that He's reserved for us. Hallelujah. Some things are going to happen, and you're going to be recipients of it because you're living in this age. It's like being caught out in a storm cloud, You're going to get rained on whether you want to or not because it's raining. Hallelujah. God's going to pour out a lot of rain. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to get doused whether you want to or not, because this is the day He's out for you. And I rejoice in this day. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But all this is for one thing, and that's to help you better understand this. But you put this above all of these. And if you find anything in here that's not according to this, get rid of these. Burn them. Destroy them. Because this is what's going to abide forever. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm only sharing with you what God shared with me. If it blesses you, let it bless you. If it don't, put it on the shelf. Get rid of it. Forget it. Hallelujah. I decree to you, though, that we are in a day when we need to come back and re-examine the book in the light of what God's doing today. I mentioned it that to my parents, they date back to the Azusa Street days. Pentecost was ushered in with a crescendo that we have never seen in Pentecost since. Why? Because as soon as God moves, usually some men try to lay hold of it and take control of it. And every time they do, God says, basically, if you're going to run the show, you take it. I'll leave it in your hands. In 48, God was gracious to the earth in an outpouring of the latter rain. Those who know nothing about the latter rain, and a lot of churches, a lot of ministries absolutely took their stand and fought it. A lot of people had a very bad opinion of the latter rain. But there was never such a move that was so great, swept the earth so much, as the latter rain movement. When the rain came, a lot of weeds came up. And we're seeing the harvest of a lot of weeds. Thank God He's going to come in and take the tares and the weeds out. And I believe we're going to see the wheat field again. Hallelujah. He's going to gather His grain into the garner. That comes in harvest time. And we're on the edge of a miracle of a harvest. And if we stand and look upon the earth today, we wonder, how in the world are you going to do it? You know, back in the days, go back to the days of Pentecost, they thought, this is it. I mean, can't be anything greater than this. God, you got to come now. 40 years later, they wandered through their wilderness. 40 years later, God seemingly brought us back to another Kadesh Barnea and said, I'll take you in. He poured out a ladder rain. We thought, we're going in now. But and God, it was during that time, God gave the revelation of the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But so many people were so organizational-minded that it wasn't long till we had the so-called quote-unquote apostles deciding they was going to divide the country up, and so-and-so is going to be apostle here and so-and-so is apostle there. And God said, if you're going to run it, go ahead. And the rain quit falling. And we're living in a day when the Bible said the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. We need to pray about the harvest. That's coming. We don't have to pray about the reapers. They're coming. They're the angels. If you don't know about angels, you better get acquainted with them, because you're going to have to be working with angels in the harvest field. We are the laborers. And he said, that's the bunch that needs to be prayed for. Pray for the laborers. We're living in a day when we're slumbering and sleeping. We're living in a day when people want you to wave a wand. Remember somebody telling about a deliverance service. The man came down and they discerned that he needed patience. He's very hyper. And he said, that's right. He said, I am. Oh, he said, that's the Lord revealed that to you. And they said, that you need deliverance. He said, I know I do. And they said, well, can we pray for you and to let God deliver you? Oh, yes, yes. It won't take very long, will it? And we're kind of that way in the things of God. But the Bible said in the day Zion travail. We are not a people yet seeking the Lord with our whole heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We want still a lay me down type prayer. Two men were riding along in a bus in Indianapolis, and the little article came out in the paper and said that when the uprising's over in the Middle East, and two men riding on the city bus, one turned to the other and said, I'll tell you what, these are days we need to pray. And the other fellow said, pray? He said, what in the world do you know about prayer? Why, he said, I'll never go to bed without saying the Lord's Prayer. The fellow said, I bet you $20 you can't even say the Lord's Prayer. Well, he said, I'll bet you $20 I can. He said, well, let's hear you. He said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, and said the child's prayer. When he finished, the other fellow said, I didn't think he could do it, and handed him the $20. You know, we. But this is a day, whether we realize it or not, is a desperate day. As our sisters sang, we're on the verge of a miracle. But it's going to take you and I to come to the place to believe God for the miracle of this hour. God has superabundance of all the heavenly equipment that we need to do the job. And we need to seek Him for that equipment. Brother West was praying yesterday morning for gifts of the Spirit. You need to let the Holy Ghost begin to move through you in the manifestation of the gifts that He's given to you according to the proportion of your faith. You need to give yourself. See, gifts are not given to you to use. Gifts are given to you so they can use you. The Bible said, give yourself wholly unto this, that your profiting may appear unto all. God never gave you a gift to write it down in the book and tell people how many gifts you got, nor to brag in your position. You what He's given you that you might be able to war a good warfare in these last days. It's spiritual equipment. And you need to make full proof of your calling and the deposit that God hath put in you. You need to hear the words of Paul as he wrote to Timothy, stir up the gift. It's either given to you divinely through the laying on of hands, but it's still by the voice and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts the 13th chapter, the Holy Spirit spake, separate unto me, Saul and Barnabas. There was something for the ministry to do. They laid hands on him. There was fasting, there was prayer. And they laid hands on them. And the Bible says in the next verse, so being sent by the Holy Spirit. Where you go, you must go by the commission of God. You go by that authority, not by your ability, but by the ability that God puts in you. See, when we get to the realm of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, if he isn't that, you are not. He is the apostle. And he is the prophet. And he is the evangelist. And he is the pastor. And he is the teacher. And you're only the vessel through whom he expresses himself. God said, I do not need a professional anybody. All I need is a yielded vessel. God can get you to yield your vessel. He can pour every gift of the Spirit through you. He can pour the ministry through you. But you have to make yourself available. This is the hour in which he must receive the preeminence. That which is of flesh must go. That which has been exalted must be abased. He must be glorified. We need to come to the place, as whoever it was in the book of Revelation said, don't worship me, worship God. That what we're doing will take people's attention unto God, not unto the man.
Hallelujah.
I've heard prophecies and people say, who gave it? And my answer usually, the Lord. We always want to know, who gave the prophecy? Well, if it's God, it's God. The vessel is just a place to express what God wants to say to us. So let's have an ear, not to hear flesh, but let's have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. We'll open our ears to hear Him. Oh, how wonderful it is. 2 Corinthians. 5th chapter. Nice funeral sermon. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I don't know about you, but I'm praying God dissolve this house. Hallelujah. If I can get this house out of the road, I think his house could be seen. And what is of him, the scripture said, that which is born of God overcometh the world. So that which is born of God in you, let it have the preeminence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let it overcome all of that which is of the world, the flesh, overcome it. If we can get this outward man dissolved, there's a man in this man. There's a house in this house. There's a temple in this temple. Hallelujah. And that's eternal. And if I can get me out of the road, that he can be seen, that's what the world wants to see. And I want to read the second verse. For in this house, we groan earnestly. See, my problems is not in Christ, my problems in me. Desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from above. If so, that being clothed, we should not be found naked. Paul said, don't unclothe me in death. But while I'm yet living, clothe upon me.
Hallelujah.
There's a groaning going on in me. There's a groaning going on. Clothe upon me. Clothe upon me. Fill me. Oh, Paul said that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Fully filled with God. Saturated. Overflowing. I told it before, but when I was pastoring in Anderson, Indiana, one Sunday morning at the close of service, somebody invited us to their house, and they lived out in the country for dinner. And we went, you know, just from church right straight to their house. And while the ladies were fixing dinner, the man said to me, he said, Brother Moore, come on, I want to show you something. He took me out to his orchard, and he had some beehives out there. And he said, I'll tell you what, these bees have really been working. I want to show you. And so he put on a, what they call a smoking jacket and smoked the bees out of one of the hives and reached in there and pulled up one of those racks of honey and honeycomb. And that comb was just all over the edge of that rack. And then like a divine inspiration, he said, "Brother Moore, I want to give this to you." Now I got on my suit and coat and everything, you know, and he shoved that thing. When I grabbed that, when I did, I broke that comb, you know, and honey starts running out of my arms, and I'm trying to hold this out here like this, keep that honey from dripping on me, and he's just, I'm so unconcerned, you know. I'm walking back to the house, and I'm walking like this, you know, and honey running and dripping. And when I got to the house, Sister Meadows realized my problem, and she got a big dishpan for me to put that in, and I went in and cleaned up. A little later on, God spoke to me and said, "Son, I want you as full of me as that rack was full of honey. That no matter what happens, all the people's going to get to me." I was handled as gentle as I could, and I still got honey. I'd got rough with that thing, I'd got more honey. I'd have got nothing out of that but honey, because that was what it was full of. It was full of honey. And God said, "I want you so full of me that no matter where you're at, that's all people's going to get is me out of you."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God's going to have a people that's going to be full of him in this day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For in this tabernacle, we do groan. We're burdened. Not that we should be unclothed in death, but while we're yet living, clothed upon me, that mortality shall be swallowed up of life.
Hallelujah.
Now that's not to the people in the graveyard. They're no longer mortal. And the Bible talks about mortality putting on immortality and corruptibility putting on incorruptibility. He's talking to living folks. More than he's talking to people. He'd take care of those that's out there. And I'm worried there's going to be a resurrection and they're coming up. He said, I wouldn't have you troubled about them. They're with the Lord. And in the day of resurrection, they're going to get up out of the grave. And I still think we got some secrets to learn about the resurrection. We haven't got close enough to it. But the day of the resurrection is coming and we'll have some knowledge about it. I think some of the fairy tales, you know, I've seen these pictures, you know, I'm jumping out of the grave and sailing off the wild beyond. Now, I know that's not right. So, and people painted them under so-called divine inspiration. That God had to reach them through the knowledge they had. And God's still reaching us through the knowledge.
Hallelujah.
But he don't intend for us to drive a stake and stay here. He still says it's line upon line and precept upon precept. Right. Here a little, there a little. We grow, and we still got to be willing to go on from this point. Somebody said to me, "Brother Moore, if you rewrote that book of Revelation," I said, "there are several things I'd change in it. I see things in truth that I didn't see when I wrote this book." Sometimes you hesitate writing books because they're almost outdated trying to get them finished. I remember back when the war over there broke out with Saddam. They were on the radio and television saying, "This is the battle is going to last until the Battle of Armageddon." You know, and boy, I had the books. And before they could get them on the market, the war was over. You know, it was outdated. But we need to walk in present truth. But we need to seek the higher, deeper realms of God continually. Martin Luther had a fantastic revelation. The just shall live by faith. It broke the Reformation. It broke the back of Catholicism. It brought a church out of the Dark Ages. But the Lutheran church, and I'm not speaking derogatory, hasn't moved much further than the revelation Martin Luther got way back there hundreds of years ago. We can take all the other reforming fathers. Thank God for them. But I believe God's still got reforming fathers. He's still got men who's got to get out there and press the battle to the gate. And we got to be willing to follow on. I believe we're at a time when God's saying the day of Moses is over with. Moses, my servant's dead. He's raising up Joshua. And he's saying, "Let's get ready. We're going to cross over." Hallelujah. And we got to be willing to cross over into what God's got.
Hallelujah.
My father, before he was filled with the Spirit, was a Quaker. And I remember one day, I was probably about 16, maybe a little younger than that. My brother's a little older than me. Dad was out, been out working the field, and we come back to the barn, and Dad said, "Just a minute before we go to the house, I want to tell you boys something." He said, "As a young man, I thought there was no church as great as the Quaker church till I met God in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Pentecostal movement." And he said, "As far as I know, boys, this is the greatest thing on the face of the earth. I don't know how much time we got left. Maybe God's got another move that's even greater than Pentecost. I don't know. If there is, you boys have enough grit and grace and backbone to get up from wherever you're at and follow on after God." And I have to thank God for a father like that. It was more interested in us following God than get locked in to a denomination or a movement and stop there. And I pray, oh God, keep that in my heart, because we're coming to a time in this earth when God is going to move in a dimension we never know. And we have to, this body has to be swallowed up by something. I've got to be consumed by Him. Somebody mentioned last night, Brother Jack, Brother Don, the prophet said, "How do you see this house now? And who remembereth it in its former glory? But I declare to you that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former." And while he was saying that, he was looking at the rebuilt temple, the temple of Zerubbabel, temple built in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra, built out of the trash heap. And I'm sure that he was speaking concerning the glory that was to come to that temple. One day I was reading that, and the Lord let me find an appropriation of that. And I would like to say it like this: who among us can remember man in the Garden of Eden in all of his glory? And how do you see us now? But I declare to you that the latter house is going to be greater than the former. Hallelujah. And this old body is swallowed up by Him. And I've been clothed upon with my house from above. My latter house is going to be greater than Adam was in all of his glory and communion with God. That's why I'm praying, clothed upon me. Somebody said God's going to take us back to the Garden of Eden. Let's hope not. We're going on into the of Jesus Christ. We're coming to a day when the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Hallelujah.
Soul salvation. I have a minister friend that I knew he's going to be with the Lord. He's about 50 miles south of Indianapolis. He's pastoring a church of about 450 people, somewhere along in there. And I know he got a revelation from the Lord. He's seen a great move of God, and he felt he was going to be part of that. So he decided to shut himself away and wait on God till God could come along and endue him with this great power that he envisioned in God. And I told him, I said, "We've got to be faithful with what God's given us. You've got to use what's in the house. You see all the gifts and you're waiting for God to manifest all the gifts to you and speak to you out of the heavens and say, 'You're my chosen apostle, you're a great prophet.' I want to say, forget it. Whatsoever hands find to do, do it now. Do it with all your might. Make full proof of what the calling wherein God has already called you." Instead of getting more spiritual, it began to drift away. Got a job, sales job, And he died almost an unknown. So don't let the enemy deceive you to lay down what you've got. Now, Paul tells us over in the book of Philippians, in the 7th verse, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things that loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Philippians 3, verse 7. I had it marked in my Bible here, so it was easy for me to find. One fellow said, what do you mean, where am I reading? I'm reading from the book of Obadiah. Yet doubtless, he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. I want you to find me in him. Somebody said, where do you find Brother Moore? He's in Christ. Oh, isn't that wonderful relationship? Right. Revelations talks about a group of people that said they go in and out and find green pastures. Oh, I tell you what, I've come into places like this. I've wept since I've been here. I've shouted a little bit. I've sang. I've praised the Lord. I've sat in his presence. But I can leave this campground and walk out. But John speaks of another people. Yes. And these are they that go in and come out no more. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to find that place where, oh, I've come into revivals, I've come into moves of God, I've seen him come, I've seen him go, but I want to move into something that's not going to fade away. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Yes. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and again, Paul's not wanting to die. Hallelujah. Paul never confessed dying until the Lord finally told him, you're not going to make it. He's the one that wrote, and we which are alive and remain. He wasn't looking to go by the way of the graveyard. He was expecting the Lord to return in his day. And it wasn't until the Lord told him. So he's not writing and wanting to die and fly away somewhere. You know, biggest part of our gospel songs is somewhere over there by the Eastern Gate and in the streets and sitting down by the river and all this kind of, can't hardly wait to die. You know, if heaven's that great and everybody's going to get there by dying, then we shouldn't be fighting abortion. We got them there quick. They didn't have no tests or trials. Hope you understand what I'm saying, the way I'm saying it. You know, matter of fact, I was preaching in Anderson, Indiana one day, and I was preaching on life. And closed service, we dismissed the service, and people left, and we had some posts down the center of the building, and not four or five rows back, it was Bob Folly was sitting there, and his head back leaned against the post. And I looked back, I thought he probably just went to sleep. And somebody walked by and said, Brother Moore, something's wrong, Brother Bob. And so there's about probably maybe no more than half a dozen of us left there in the church. And one of the ladies happened to be an RN, and she went over and she checked him. She said, Brother Moore, he's gone. He's dead. His mouth open, eyes open. I got mad. I just preached on life. And a man dies. I didn't think about faith. I didn't think about power. I just thought about nothing. I was just mad. And I walked back there and I stood in front of Brother Bob and I said, you dirty devil, you! You can't rob what I just preached. Bob, wake up! He grabbed his eyes and grinned, and he said, did I miss something? live for 10 more years. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We should be the ministers of life. Walk at that edge of the miracle. Expect that miracle of healing and deliverance and victory at every step of the road. And the sister brought her mother to church, and they brought her down. We was praying for several, and they got her on down at the altar where we was praying. And I walked to them, and I said, what's your problem? And the daughter said, Mom's got heart problems. So I laid hands on her, and I prayed for her and for God to heal that heart problem. And I said, let's just get your hands up and begin to thank God for it. And she lifted her hands and started praising the Lord because God had touched her heart. And her daughter stand behind her, started jumping up and down and said, Mommy's healed, Mommy's healed, Mommy's healed. And I said, how do you know God's healed her heart? You're no doctor. Now, you may not talk, be honest like that. I think you need to be honest sometimes. And she said, but you don't understand, Brother Moore. She's also had a stroke. One whole side of her is paralyzed. She hasn't had her hands up like that for years. She hadn't laid down on a bed for 5 years. And she went home that night and laid down, she said, even without a pillow. And slept like a baby. And lived many, many years after that. Hallelujah. Coming back, Paul is not talking about dying. Paul is looking at Jesus in his pre-resurrected days. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus showed himself to both be man and God. There was times he got weary like a man. Remember one time with the disciples going by the way of Samaria? And he finally said, boys, I'm just so tired. I don't think I need to walk on into town. Let me just sit here beside the well. You boys go in and get some bread and bring it back out. And while he's there, a woman comes out to draw water. And he said, I'm thirsty. He's tired. He's hungry. He's thirsty like a man. But when his disciples came back, I have no place where he ever read, ever ate, ever drank, ever rested. But he said, I've had meat to eat that you know not of. Hallelujah. But he got sleepy, slept in the boat, and rose like God, and spoke against the winds and waves. He showed his humanity. He showed his divinity. But the manifestation of his humanity was greater in the eyes of many than his divinity. But in his resurrection, he made that physical body subject to total divinity. He could take a body and walk through a wall. Take him out as far as Mount Olives and lift that physical body against gravity to the cloud that was up above. When I read of him now, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. No more hunger. And Paul seen him pre-Calvary. And he sees him post-resurrection. He said, oh, that I might know him in the power that he had after he got up out of the grave. I don't know about you, but I want this body to be swallowed up in that relationship that Paul saw in the resurrected, glorified Lord. Hallelujah. I want him to consume me. I'm willing to count everything loss that I might gain that relationship.
Oh,
how urgent is it? It's so urgent that we need to forget those things which are behind and press forward for the prize, the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If it was not an unattainable goal, it would never be recorded for us to have to strive for it. God has never ordered his children to do things that you can't do. I've preached here since we've been here, the life of the overcomer. If you couldn't be an overcomer, he would not have put it in the book and said you could be. If you could not live victorious, he would not put it in his book and tell you you can live victorious. If you could not obtain a righteousness in Christ Jesus, he would never tell you that you can be made righteous in Christ Jesus. If you could not find the realm of perfection in him, he would not say, as you read from Hebrews, we go on into perfection. He challenges me to the nth degree. Not only do I walk on the edge of a miracle, most of the time you walk on the road, the edge of possibility and impossibility. And while you're walking there, you've got to believe God that there's nothing impossible. There are some things I think's impossible. But he said, you only think it's impossible. For with me, there's nothing impossible. And his promises are yea and amen to them that will believe.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
And if you can believe for a harvest time in this age, you can believe for a great revival, and believe it to such an extent that you know that we need it, we must have it, we can't continue at the speed we're going, and begin to lay hold of the horns of the altar and travail before God, somebody is going to pray through, and God's going to send an outpouring like this earth has never seen since the dawn of time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The harvest is waiting for us. But those who are willing to pay the price. As I said, I grew up as a farm boy. I started out as a youngster with the water wagon for the harvest field, for the wheat fields. My uncle had a pony and a cart, and we had the jugs of water. And we'd go to, you know, to the threshers and out in the harvest field and leave a jug, go back and take the empty jugs and fill them up and make the route, and all day long, you know, out in the harvest field, because they was out there working, laboring. Stood there in the pitchfork, and I stood with the pitchfork, pitching the hay and up into the mow. And I know what it is. Some ways you like to see the harvest, but the harvest is not a time of loafing. It's going to be work. It's labor. It's got the demands of your strength. Therefore, you need to begin to pray, strengthen me, O God. Strengthen me for the harvest that be ahead. Strengthen me for the job that be ahead. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Learn of her ways and be wise. Oh, God, help us to begin to put on the whole armor of God and prepare to sit back. He said, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. This is not a day for the sluggard. This is not a day for spiritual lethargy to lay hold of you. And the enemy knows it, and he's trying to rock God's people to sleep. Amen. Too many of God's Christians have taken spiritual Valium to eliminate the pain and go to sleep. Yeah. God needs for us to wake up. Wake up, O Zion. Wake up, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments. The garments of praise. The garments of worship. Hallelujah. Stand up. Hallelujah. Sound the alarm. Let the earth know that the Lord our God still rules in Zion. Let the world know that God is in this temple. Hallelujah. Who awakens the bridegroom? I heard it sang this morning. The anointing breaks the yoke. I got a bridegroom in me. I tell folks, most people believe Christ is in them, but they think he's the janitor of the building. Most of the time you keep him in the basement of your experience, except when you got a problem. He's a repairman. Come up and fix this, Lord. Heal this. Deliver him from this. When you find your help and your deliverance, you put him back down the basement somewhere. He said, I don't want to dwell in the basement. I want to dwell on the throne of your heart. I used to have an old gentleman. He used to sing a song. And the song was entitled, On the Jericho Road. I'm sure you've heard it. There's room for just two. One night we called on him to sing it. And he said, I can't sing that song anymore. And I said, why? He said, well, the Lord got a talking to me. The other night, after I sang it the last time, And he said, son, do you realize the road's getting kind of narrow? He said, yeah. He said, do you realize how narrow it's getting? He said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, there's not room for two no more. Not Jesus and me, it's either you or me. Which one's it going to be? And he said, Lord, let it be you. And I think that's where it comes. The road's getting narrower. We got to make a decision. It's not me. We got to move with the cloud. We got to move when God moves. Now, I don't want to destroy some of your Hollywood, we'd call them stars. I don't know what you call them in the ministry. But you got people trying to feed you wormy manna. They haven't moved any closer to God, and they're not even as close as the church was at the turn of the century in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They've never known nothing about latter rain. Most of them know nothing or very little about the gifts. And we got them as our leaders and heroes. Honey, you better find out where they're walking. You better know them that labor among you. Got people so confused because they listen, this one says this, and this one says that, and the other one says the other. Somebody said, Brother Moore, what do you listen to? And I said, the other channel. Amen. Amen. That's why I'm reaching forward in Him. I'm not going to be chained. Paul was chained to a dead man, apparently. Don't let me be chained to the deadness of the past. Hallelujah. I've seen Pentecost in its blaze of glory. I've seen it organized. I've seen it fade. I've seen it become as denominationalized as any denomination on the face of the earth. I've seen latter rain in its glory, and I've seen men take it, and I've seen it fade. I've seen the charismatic renewal, and folks, instead of coming together, became more divided until you had all kind of divisions and fighting one another. And I've seen that because men took a hold of it, and they said, we're going to control it. But God said, hey, keep looking for something that I'm going to lead, and no man's going to take control of it. Hallelujah. Let God arise.
Amen.
Let this be swallowed up in Him. Let this be swallowed up in Him. Oh, I prayed the other morning. I prayed, God, open my mind. It's an old time song, but we used to sing as an altar song, pass me not, O gentle Savior. While another is your calling, don't pass me by. And that's still my prayer, Lord, don't pass me by. You're moving by your Spirit. Don't pass me by. Don't let me be blinded. Don't let me not see it. You run a danger when God moves you so close that you can drive a stake and not move on. God's moved. Let's look for the cloud if you're moving. Don't get your stakes so deep you can't pull them up. Hallelujah. Don't get your tent so set you can't move on. We have ground yet to cover. We have places yet to go. Let's move with God. Let's move with God. I hear an awakening. I hear the sound of a trumpet.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're standing in the dawn of another day.
Yes.
I seen the title of a book back there, Hasten the Dawn. Hasten that dawn. The dawning of that day. Hasten it. Let it awaken in me.
Hallelujah.
Give me an ear to hear it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Rise up, O Zion.
Amen.
Put on thy beautiful garments. For they be the garments of praise and worship unto thy God. Glorify ye the Lord and give thanks unto Him who hath called thee and ordained thee unto great choosings and callings, who hath not ordained thee to fall by the wayside, neither to walk with a trembling foot, nor to tread in the realms of fearfulness. Nor let thy mind be as a double mind. But he said, I behold, I've given to thee a sound mind. I've given to thee a sure foot. And I've given to thee the strength of thy God. That thou shalt put on the Lord. Put on the Lord and make no provision, he saith, for thy flesh. make no allowance even for thine own mind. For he saith unto thee, when I speak unto thee, why reason ye in the heart? For I have not called thee to reason, but I have called thee unto obedience, that thou should hear me and obey me. For I have not spoken to thee wrong direction, neither have I pointed thee unto the way of destruction, but I've appointed unto thee life and health and strength and victory. And thou shalt hear me in the speakings of the recesses of thy soul. Thou shalt be changed. For who standeth in my presence and is not changed? Who walketh with me without being strengthened from above? For I shall bring thee out of the weaknesses of thy flesh. I shall bring thee out of the darkness of thy past. And I will bring thee into the light of this day. For have I not said, I will translate thee out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now you should no longer be children of darkness. Neither should you be children of wandering. But you're chosen for divine purposes. Ordained unto greatness, because the greatness of thy God dwelleth in the midst of thee. And he said, behold, as I am, so are ye in this world, that ye should show forth my goodness unto the children of men. What is the treasure of thine heart? What is it thou shalt show unto the world? Am I the treasure of thine heart? Or is it thine abilities that is the treasure of thine heart? Behold, let men see the God of glory dwelling in the midst of thee. For what are thine abilities? Are they greater than any other abilities? Shall they not also fade and perish with the using? But behold, the treasures of God are eternal and everlasting. And thou shalt abide in my calling, thou shalt abide in my choosing. Behold, thy foot shall not stumble. And thou shalt not fall, but thou shalt rise up. Thou shalt rise up, not in the strength of thine own arm, but thou shalt rise in the strength of thy God. Thou shalt rise in the ability of thy God. And thou shalt go forth in the calling of thy God. And thou shalt stand in that ability that God giveth. And thou shalt be rejoice. Rejoice in what the Lord hath wrought in the midst of his people. For great is our God. Great is his faithfulness unto all generations. And I hear the Lord say that I have not excused your generation. Hallelujah. I will be great in the midst of thee. I will raise thee up from the dunghill. I will raise thee up from the dust of thine own flesh. And I will let thee be seated with me in my throne as I have overcome and been seated with my Father in his throne. Thou shalt sit in the midst of the overcomers. Thou shalt walk no longer even by thy own faith, but thou shalt walk by the authority that God giveth. For thou shalt speak as my vessel. And behold, I, the Lord, shall perform it, because it shall be my word in thy mouth. Know ye not that I dwell that close to thee? I walk with thee. I am even in thy mouth. Am I in thy mouth for naught, saith the Lord? Am I in thy mouth that ye should just rejoice in it? No, behold, I am in thy mouth that ye might taste and see that the Lord thy God is good. I'm in thy mouth that I might fill thy being with that which is in thy mouth should come unto thee and change thee and mold thee and make thee that thou should awaken my likeness. Turn not therefore to the weak beggarly elves of the earth, but turn thou unto me, saith God, and hear me. Behold, Jesus, I have not heard thee. But the Lord said, open thine ears. Let thine ears be circumcised. Let the scales fall from thine eyes, that you might not only hear, but you might see me. In all things, see thy God. And rejoice in the God of your deliverance, who has delivered you out of the horrible pit, who has delivered you from the snares of the enemy, who has plucked thy feet out of the net, who have loved thee to preserve thee, and loaded thee to challenge thee, that you should go forth, not as a weak one, not as a wavering one, but as a strong soldier unto thy God shall you stand, knowing that the battle is the Lord's, that ye shall stand, that he might fight through you. Hallelujah. The enemy shall fall before thee by the power of God that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise God. Hallelujah. Great is our God. Great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Help us, O God, hallelujah, to walk in the fullness of our calling. Hallelujah. That we might see our choosing in thee, O God. For thou hast chosen us in you from before the foundation of the world. Let us not stumble upon the mountain, but let us make full proof of that ministry and that calling that's ours in you forever and ever and ever and ever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus.
Give up on a brink of a miracle. Don't give in, God is still on the throne. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up, remember you're not alone. When Satan would have you look at the trials of life that surround you, and he tries to appear and brings doubt and fear all around you, don't look with the eye or listen with your ear. Just cry out to God. He is always near. In your darkest hour, your miracle is here. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in. God is still on the throne. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up, remember you're not alone. For the devil is a thief, and he sends these troubles to confound you. And he lies and says it's time, there's no way you can find to make it through. Remember God's true word, the battle is the Lord's. Don't give in to fear, think of things that are pure and praise the Lord. Your miracle is here. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in, God is still on the throne. Up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. Remember you're not alone. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in. God is still on the throne.
Praise you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for your presence that's manifested amongst us. We praise you and we thank you and we glorify your name today. We lift up that name that's above every name, to which our knee doth bow and our tongue doth confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your anointing. We thank you for your Spirit of the living God to move across this congregation and then across the, as we return to wherever we came from, to take with us this anointing to be brought back into the places of our dwellings. Father, that we may be a light that shines bright, that men know that God is on the throne, that we are on the brink of an hour that the world has never known, when the glory and the majesty of the King of Kings shall shine forth, and men shall know that he rules and reigns because his judgments are in the land. Father, we thank you that we know these things. Help us not to go to sleep with it. Help us, Lord, to stay awake. To stay awake. To stay awake. For the hour cometh. When we cannot sleep, we must labor for the kingdom. Give us the understanding and the wisdom. Thank you for health and strength for us, Lord. We speak health to every physical body. We speak strength to us in Jesus' name. We rebuke the tiredness. We curse it. Break the assignment of it over us in Jesus' name. We'll not be weary in well-doing. We'll work for the night cometh, when no man shall labor. But the light shall shine brighter and brighter for those of us, Lord, that see thy coming as the glory of the Lord in the midst of us. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, help us with the food. We bless those who prepared it. We thank you, Father, that it'll be health to our strength and strength to our flesh. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.